Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Las Vegas, thanks so much for being awake this Sunday morning at 7 o'clock to listen to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast again. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are pleased to be able to come to you this morning on this radio station and share with you the Word of God, especially from the book of James, where we're in kind of a series right now. But frankly, this morning we're going to be in a lot of different places in the Scripture because we're going to be talking about purity, and how that all ties in with life. But before we started, I wanted to read a little prayer to you. I shared this with the church on a Wednesday night. It's been quite a while back, but I think this is a very interesting prayer. It's a little funny, but maybe it'll wake you up a little bit this morning. So it says, "Dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I've not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit card. But I will be getting out of bed in a minute, and I think that I will really need your help then." All right, so I want you to know that purity is a mindset, and it's an attitude, and it also is the way that we choose to behave. Now, we know that there is a lot of sin and corruption and moral filth and evil in the world. I mean, most people would agree to that. It's just really a difference of degree, what one person thinks versus what another person thinks. But I want you to know that if you really want a good foundation for purity, you need to look in the Scriptures. Not man's opinions, not man's judgments, not man's convictions or preferences, but purity that comes from the mind and the heart and the Word of God. And in James chapter 1, where we've been discussing, remember the last couple weeks we've started in verse 19, where James, writing to God's people, says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." You see, God desires us to do right. God desires us to walk in truth and in purity and in holiness and in righteousness. He wants us to live a righteous life. That's what God desires. And God has made it possible for us to do that if we choose to. But what James is trying to let them know is that this doesn't just happen automatically. It doesn't just happen magically. It's not that God makes us live a certain way. It's something that every single one of us that's listening this morning has to choose. Are we going to do what's right, or are we going to do what's wrong? Are we going to do what's pure, or are we going to do what's impure? Are we going to do what's good, or are we going to do what's evil? Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And of course, that's a wrong kind of anger. There is a righteous anger. There's a righteous indignation for upholding what's right and being upset at what's wrong going on around us. And that's not what we're talking about. But I like what a good friend, Jim Terrell, said one time, that even in our doing right, we still need to be righteous about doing right. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we can even turn our right deeds into wrong things because of our attitude or because of our pride or arrogance or anything else, or that we let ourselves get out of control. And so that's why James is saying, listen, man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. So again, God wants us to live and be righteous. It's the kind of life that he desires. In fact, we've been studying about Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews, and we talked about last night that it says that Melchizedek was king of righteousness, if you were. That's what his name means, king of righteousness. And so his rule and even his title and name, it was all a part of the righteous rule. He, in other words, he was a godly ruler, not an unjust, you know, selfish dictator that was cruel and malevolent, but he was beneficial to his people. He was a benevolent ruler. He was kind and righteous in the things that he did, as far as we know, because of his name and his title. And so I want you to know that, again, God wants us to be righteous. And that's why in verse 21, it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Okay, so he's saying, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Friends, we have to recognize and realize that this world is wicked and it's ungodly. And so many things that are a part of it are so hurtful and just destroy people's lives. Even the people that are caught up in those very sins, that very moral filth and evil, even they can recognize the consequences that come from living like that sooner or later. And so James, as a writer of Scripture, urges God's people to get rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And that starts in our own life. It starts in our own life where we say, God, I am going to put this aside. I was listening to a sermon the other night where the preacher exhorted us, we need to take off the old clothes. We need to look at it like taking off the moral filth and the evil is so prevalent. Put it to death. Get rid of it. Throw it away. We talked about that a little bit last time. But we need to be people that recognize what it is that's evil and wicked and morally filthy that we need to get rid of. And we can't come up with those things on our own. We need our God, our Creator, that has a wisdom that's different from ours, that's not caught up in all the things of this world and the sin and the enticements of sin in this world. We need a God that understands us because He created us. And He understands what's best for us physically, morally, and every other way. And so James understands, and he's telling God's people through the Holy Spirit to be people of purity. Now, before we go on, I want to listen to our first song this morning. This is by a group called Casting Crowns, and this is a song called Slow Fade. And here's the thing with moral filth and evil. It doesn't usually just happen like boom and that's it. It's usually a slow fade. People start getting into things that are not so bad, and then those things build and develop. And even children start off with small things. You know, maybe they told a lie, or maybe they were being deceitful, or whatever they were doing, you know, along those lines. Maybe they were mean-spirited. Maybe they threw a temper tantrum. You know, whatever it was. It's like it starts small, but if those things aren't discouraged and shown that, hey, those aren't right ways to live, that they're going to grow up and continue to do not only those things, but even worse and even worse things. And so we don't want to be a people that slowly fades away into moral filth and evil, but we want to be a people that recognizes the righteous life that God wants us, desires us to live, and that He's given us everything we need for that kind of life. Let's listen to Casting Crowns, Slow Fade. And I sure hope and pray that if you're on that slippery slope of fading away into sin, that you'd wake up and realize it's got to stop. You got to get on that narrow road that leads to life and get off the broad road that leads to destruction. You need to call out to God and seek His will instead of just living like everybody else does in the world around us. Let's listen this morning to Casting Crowns.
Second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade. When black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow. Lead broken hearts astray.
We're back this morning, and I want to go to a few different places in Scripture this morning, rather than just James. So please, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 15 with me, please. Matthew chapter 15. If not, just please listen in and hear what Jesus has to say about this topic of purity that we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.'" Okay, so they were all concerned about washing their hands. And if you go into the whole background of it, you'll know this wasn't just, you know, put a little soap and water on your hands and washing them the way we normally do. Like your mom used to tell you, wash your hands before you eat, right? This was a very, you know, kind of an elaborate ceremony they went through to make sure that, you know, they did it just right so they'd be purified and, you know, that they wouldn't violate any of those commands as far as being clean was concerned before they ate. And Jesus went ahead and told him some other things about that we're not going to look at specifically, but look at what he said in verse 7, because basically he told him, you know, you guys are worried about the outside, but you're not worried about the inside. You're worried about your traditions, but you're not willing to uphold the laws and the principles of God. And then he quotes Isaiah when he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." And so I want you to know this morning that if you're following teachings and rules taught by men, that's not where you want to be, okay? That's just a dead-end street of legalism and arrogance and thinking that you know better than God, or whoever you're listening to thinks that they know better from God. And Jesus said, "They worship me in vain." Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to worship God in vain, okay? That means it's worthless, it's pointless. And so again, we don't want to be a people that honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. And that's really the whole point of this teaching about purity here, is that the Pharisees were worried about the outside. Jesus was trying to get them to look at the inside. So look at verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Okay, so he's not saying that physically what goes into your mouth makes you unclean, but it's what comes out of the mouth. And this is what Jesus tells them a little bit later when Peter, verse 15, wanted to know what this was all about. And Jesus said in verse 17, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." You see, Jesus knew that it was what was going on in the heart. That's what makes people unclean. Okay, and it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So, you know, you can fool people for a while, but ultimately in the things that they say and even their deeds and actions and behaviors, those are the things that give them away on whether or not their heart is really right with God. Because you see, if you're just worried about impressing men and you're just following rules taught by men, then, you know, God's not going to be really important to you because you're going to be thinking more about pleasing men than pleasing God. But what Jesus said was, you need to look at your heart, and I need to look at my heart. And we need to say, hey, what's coming out of our mouths? What's coming out of our heart? What are our actions and our deeds all about? Because the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we speak, the way that we think, that's all coming from our inner man, from our heart, if you would. Not the literal physical thing in our chest that beats and pumps blood all over our body, but what the Bible calls the inner man, our conscience, our inner person, the one that we know as us, as opposed to anybody else. And so Jesus was trying to get them to understand that these are the things that were going on the inside. In fact, in his Sermon on the Mount a little bit earlier, in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21, this is what Jesus is talking about. He says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. And so Jesus was saying, you know, you guys think that it's just about not killing somebody, but I'm telling you that if you keep your heart right and you don't have anger or resentment or bitterness or just disgust at another human being, you'll never put yourself in a position to actually harm them physically, up to and including murdering them. Okay? The murderer didn't just start off by grabbing a gun and shooting somebody. It didn't just happen like that. It was a slow fade. It was a slow fade. It took a while to get to that point because his thoughts and his conscience needed to be become more depraved and more seared and more desensitized to where he could finally ultimately carry through with that act. Same thing with adultery. Okay, in verse 27, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so he's saying, look, it's not just about ending up in bed with another man's husband or wife, or excuse me, wife, or another wife's husband, excuse me, but it's about in your heart. What are you doing in your heart? Are you truly keeping your commitment in your heart with your mate? And so Jesus goes on to say, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand caused you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And so he's trying to get them to realize that, listen, how serious this is. He doesn't want you to literally gouge out your eye or cut off your hand. You can still continue to sin even if you do that. And that's not going to make your heart right by just doing that. But he's saying this is how radical you and I ought to be in taking care of sin in our heart, okay? That we need to take desperate measures to take care of it. And frankly, it doesn't have to be that desperate. It means that, first of all, we need to turn to the Lord. It means we need to be concerned that he wants us to live a righteous and godly and holy life, and that Jesus died on the cross so that could be a possibility for us, a potential that we could have eternal life if we will trust him, if we will live according to God's will and not our own, if we'll put away our sin and we'll strive to live righteously, then we can have confidence that that decision that we made to follow Jesus Christ is real. And just like we say at the beginning of our broadcast, it's real and it can and does change our lives. And so I hope your life has been changed by knowing Jesus Christ. I hope that you've taken care of yourself from the inside out and that you don't just look good on the outside, but inside, you know you're struggling with all kinds of sin. Okay, that's not what God wants, and it's frankly not what you want. How much better it is to just confess it and come clean and be in a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. That's what's pure. That's what purity is all about. And that's why James says, kind of like Jesus here, you know, get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. Okay, get rid of it. Throw it away. Take it off. Cut it out. Okay, that's what he's getting at, is that we've got to be actively participating in this manner of putting away our sin and doing what's right before God. Hey, we're going to listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Toby Mac, and I want you to realize that even when we do sin, yeah, we might have to face the consequences, but we can get back up again. We can determine to do what's right the next time and to ask God to help us and to strengthen us and to get back up and stay on that narrow road that leads to life. Let's listen to Toby Mac sing Get Back Up Again.
You in the eye and hesitated when I asked if you were all right. Seems like you're fighting for your life, but why, oh why? Wide awake in the middle of your nightmare, you saw it coming but it hit you out of nowhere. And there's always scars when you fall that far. We lose our way, we get back up again. It's never too late to get back up again. And one day you won't shine again. You may be knocked down but not out forever.
made your little getaway. It feels like you've been running all your life, but why? Oh, why? So you pull away from the love that would have been there and stop believing that your situation's unfair. But there's always scars when you fall.
We have time for this morning. I sure hope that you've been challenged to live in a pure, godly, inner way, and that that way shows on the outside by what you say and by what you do especially. We're going to talk some more about purity next week as far as this topic is concerned, that we need to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent because we want to honor God with our life. Hey, thanks so much for listening to us. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And so if you'd like to come and join us, we'd sure like to invite you. The church at Las Vegas meets Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'd love to have you come down here to our church building at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to meet with you. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Also, if you have a computer, get online. You can check out our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. There you can find out a lot more different things about us. You can listen to this broadcast over again if you'd like. Go back and listen to previous broadcasts of things that we've already done. They're on our website under ministry and under radio broadcast. And you can find all of those things there. Also want to let you know about our Fall Fiesta that's coming up on the 29th of October. That's Saturday. It's going to be from 3 to 5 here at the church building. And this is for, you know, young people from like 2 to 16. Just want to invite you to come on out and get to know us a little better. And we can get to know you. And we're going to have a lot of fun activities for the kids and lots of different things, food and activities. And so want to encourage you to come on out for that Saturday, the 29th from 3 to 5. Hey, thanks so much for listening again this morning. We just want to encourage you to keep looking for, keep searching for a fellowship with God if you don't have it. And those of us that have the privilege to do so, let's just continue to walk by faith and to honor God with everything we do. Hey, until we meet next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.